You're listening to highlights of the Creative Process and One Planet podcast interview with author, filmmaker, and landscape designer, Louis D. Yeager. This podcast is supported by the Ian Michalski Foundation.
The earth started as one big rock and soil did not exist. And without soil, you can't really grow trees or any crops whatsoever. Microorganisms made these rocks into soil, and it took thousands, millions of years to create soils like we have them today. And with the way we're farming today, we're actually plundering that bank account. So we are depleting soils super fast. And it is predicted that in less than 25 years, 90% of our soils will be degraded. So that's 90%. And that is really alarming because I like to have food. And I guess you like food too. Everybody needs food to survive. So in 2050, that might be a problem if we don't change the way we handle the soil. So what do we have to do instead? Instead of extracting things, we have to build the soil. And there are different techniques and ways of gardening or agriculture that build the soil. One of the most well-known techniques is organic farming. But it got a label and got rules. People also started to hollow out those rules. So there is very good organic farming. And some people are also like doing a little bit of extractive organic farming. And then you have biodynamic farming, which farms together with the phases of the moon, works more energetically. A lot of these things are actually scientifically proven right now, but for some it sounds esoterically. But the nice thing with biodynamic farming is that they use zero pesticides. And then, of course, you have permaculture, agroecology, regenerative organic, and they basically are brothers and sisters from each other. We as humans, we can destroy things in a couple of years that have taken thousands or even millions of years to form. So in one snap of a finger, we can destroy so much work. That's an observation that I've seen in all biomes, and that's pretty scary. On the other hand, nature also regenerates pretty fast. It's inherently that, for example, if you make a cut in your finger, in a week, that cut will normally will be gone because your body will self-heal. And it's an amazing property we humans have, but it's also an amazing property that nature has. It heals itself. And if humans help this healing process, its healing can even go faster. Now, we have some limiting factors, and a big limiting factor is water. The more water you have, generally, the easier the healing can go. For example, if you go to the south of Spain or to the Sahara Desert or to deserts in the United States or in Australia, their regeneration goes much slower because there is less water, and you need water to build these carbon-like structures that will go into the soil and create these underground cities full of microorganisms, full of fungi, of bacteria. They need this infrastructure to live in it. They have a hard time living in dead dirt. So you need water to do that. And also you have several different strategies to regenerate land. When I was in Morocco, I realized or had this aha moment and said, okay, I want to do anything in my power not to have this desertification continuing. Because in Morocco, I was in the desert and I'm a forager, so I can survive in the wild if I want to. Not that I will like it. I'd rather go to a restaurant than have food, very high caloric food, but I can forage. And when I was in the desert, I really felt unease and I didn't know why until I realized, oh, darn it, there's nothing to eat here. I won't survive here if I was dropped in this desert. And then I learned that it didn't used to be a desert. It was a giant lush food forest. And then remnants of that food forest. So these beautiful palm trees with underneath pomegranates, some citrus, little donkeys, a little stream in between. I spent also a lot of time in Spain. And there I saw that in Spain is becoming a desert. The same in the south of France or the entire Mediterranean region. It's turning into a desert. I was living in the Minervois. Every summer there, we saw all the people of the village gathering a place. And then we know, oh gosh, what's happening now? And then we went and followed all the villagers. And we were all standing there together watching an entire hill that's on fire. And it was apocalyptic. And yesterday in the news around the same region where I lived, there is like hundreds or even thousands of hectares that were burned down again. It's just pretty scary to see that it's getting closer and closer to almost anywhere. Even in the Arctic, there has been fires, wildfires. So the earth is talking to us and we better listen.
tell us a little bit about different kind of inspiring projects you've been involved in or visited or heard about?
I think one of the most inspiring projects is a combination between annuals and perennials, because I am 100% convinced that a healthy combination is the best way to go. Because let's say that in the entire world now is fed by perennials, so trees and shrubs. If there is a hurricane or another bad weather event and it destroys all your trees and you have to wait 15 years before you have a new walnut plantation, let's say, before they fruit again, then you will have 15 years without food. So having trees takes longer and it takes a long-term mindset. Having annuals, it can go very fast. So you plant a seed today and in a couple of months you will have your harvest. So we need the annuals, which are the sprinters, and we need the perennials, who are the marathon runners. And also they give to the soil. They shed their leaves. They get nutrients from deep down. They stop erosion. They stop the wind. They even stop disease coming in. So it's like this perfect combination between annuals and perennials that we really need. And one of the most inspiring places that I saw is Tolhurst Organic, Ian Tolhurst. And he has combined this agroforestry, these trees, with annuals, with vegetables, the most delicious vegetables. The crazy thing about his farm is that he hasn't imported a single gram of manure or fertilizer from outside. And he doesn't even have his own animals. So he's a veganic farm. What makes it interesting is that the mindset of agronomists, and if you go to farming school, where I went to as well, you learn that if you take something out, you need to put something in. But that's totally wrong, because the earth is a perpetuum mobile. You can take as much out without having to put anything back in. Why? Because you have an eternal supply of nutrients based in the rocks of the earth. The earth didn't have any soil. It started out as a rock. It was the fungi, the bacteria, and the plants together that created soil by grinding up these rocks. So the only thing you have to do as a farmer is make sure that you have the right environment for the microorganisms. So these microorganisms keep on doing their work and keep on mining the rocks that are in the soil. Keep turning mineral content into organic content. And Ian Tolhurst is exactly doing that. So instead of fertilizing his land, what does he do? He takes a bit of wood chips he creates from his rows of trees next to his fields or between his fields. And he uses it not as fertilizer, but as an inoculation for the soil, giving it just this little kickstart. So the fungi and the bacteria say, all right, we can go again for a couple of more years. What he also does is he uses a lot of in-between crops, biomax, cover crops, or green manures, depending how you want to call them. And what do they do? A plant actually creates something from nothing. So plant gets water from the soil, H2O, and takes CO2 from the air, from the atmosphere. It's very crazy, but taking something you can't see and putting it together with water, CO2 plus water, it gives you sugars. I always still think it's miraculous. CO2 with water gives you sugars. And that sugars are pumped by those plants into the soil. It's like the ingredients of pancake dough that the plant creates, like the sugars, the fats, the proteins, pumps it into the soil. And it's sometimes up to 40% of the nutrients that a plant makes for themselves that it gives to the soil for free. And that's, if you have a cover crop with all different kind of plants, different botanical families, they're pumping all kind of stuff into the soil and it feeds the soil immensely. And what is fed in the soil? Of course, the fungi and the bacteria that mine other stuff and give it back to the plants, and then it will create more biomass, the plants will die, and before you know it, you have an entire new soil layer. And to me, that's a total different mindset to think about gardening, growing a food forest, or farming. I once heard the quote, don't teach people how to build a sailboat, but inspire them and tell them stories about the sea and let them long for the sea.
Antoine de Saint-Exupéry, I often say that, yes, the famous author of The Little Prince. Yes.
Voilà, exactly. And it's so true. You want children, to open as many doors for children as possible so they know all these beautiful pathways that exist. And that's, I think, maybe one of the only things that we need to do as grown-ups is just show them in an inspired way all the doors that are there. Look, this is a door. If you follow that path, you could become a doctor. If you follow that path, you could know anything about plants. Just go to that man there who lives in the forest and he'll teach you everything. And if you can plant that seed inside of them, or plant a gazillion of seeds, some of them will germinate. And in some people, other seeds will germinate. But we need to, first of all, create favorable conditions for the children so they have fertile soil by making sure they grow up in a loving society, in a society where they know they can make mistakes, because making mistakes is the best way to go forward. It's called failing forward. I love that term. It's also how nature works. If a plant grows a root and it hits a rock, then it won't give up and say, oh my God, there's a rock. No, it's going to say, okay, I'm just going to grow my root around the rock. And so by creating a good atmosphere and then like planting gazillions of seeds into the minds of children, this way they'll have the space to, and also the time, so they can explore stuff. And then we have to have faith that these things will grow. And this is something we as grown-ups can help with.
We hope you've enjoyed this program and listening to the highlights of this podcast. If you'd like to get involved in One Planet Podcast or learn more about environmental projects, click on the subscribe button. Thank you for listening.